Soundstripe.
Hey, you guys. Welcome back to That's Relatable. Thanks for coming to hang out with me. I am so stinking excited to have you here, and maybe it's not coming across well, but I'm wildly excited to be talking about the topic today. I'm also very overwhelmed right now because I just spent some time praying and in my Bible just trying to prep for this episode, and I feel like I have so much that I want to say that I'm already like, oh, I just hope I don't miss anything. So I'm truly just hoping and praying that God takes over in this one, that His Holy Spirit is made known to whoever wants to hear it and whoever needs this most, because we are talking about anxiety today. And I am so over this punk messing with my family, my friends, my students, people I love, this spirit of anxiety and depression and panic and fear. I'm over it. And I feel like I'm so just revved up about it right now that I'm pretty excited to get into this one. So, where do I even start with anxiety, you guys? I'm no stranger to it. I'll start there. I'm no stranger to it. And it's something that I personally have not talked about my own experience with before, just because I, for the longest time, and even if I'm being honest, like even to this day, like I just have a little bit of embarrassment and shame around it. And I understand that that is not from God. Like that's totally, in my opinion, that's Satan just trying to deflect and keep me from speaking about it. And because I know by speaking about it and by bringing attention to it, it will bring other people out of it. And you know what? Satan doesn't want that. And so I'm not going to let those feelings of embarrassment and shame keep me quiet about this experience. I think more and more I'm finding out that it's so stinking common and so common with people that we would never expect. And I just remember just recently talking to a friend who dealt with anxiety, and I just had no idea, and I was floored. And it was already a topic that was starting to like pop up pretty frequently with other people in my life. And so I'm just taking that as a full-blown sign to draw attention to it and discuss it and to break this thing down. But again, it's just, you would not, or I didn't anyways, I did not expect the people who I've discussed this with to have ever dealt with anxiety. And so it's such a sneaky pain in the butt that just needs a freaking kick in the throat. So that's what we're here to do. We're here to kick anxiety in the throat today. So I'll just give you a brief kind of overview of what I dealt with. But honestly, before I even get into that, I really should like start this with a disclaimer of I am obviously not a medical professional. I do not study any mental health stuff. I have nothing to do with that. All I know is what I know through what I've experienced. And so this is just my own personal beliefs, my own personal testimony. And I know that anxiety can range from, I don't know, a lot of different topics. And I will say that my anxiety was strictly from just like overwhelming thoughts and just letting my thoughts just spiral out of control. And they would become so freaking terrifying that I was just like paralyzed and just like literally felt like I could not go about my days without just being completely like wrecked. And so I know anxiety can like come from past traumas or like neglect and family abuse or relationship abuse or whatever. Like I am so fortunate and blessed enough to say that like that was not my case. That is not my case. I don't have experience with that. And so again, seek out medical help, professional help. If your situation is deeper than anything I'm going to talk about today. But again, my type of anxiety was one where I would just like hate the fact that I don't have control over my future, and it would make me sick to my stomach. What's going to happen next? What's going to happen there? Oh my gosh, is everyone going to be healthy and okay? Oh my gosh, is this going to happen? Am I going to, you know, sorry if this is like morbid and gets deep, but it's meant to, I guess. Like I had the worst fear about getting cancer and dying and like just friendships and relationships and just things that are so wildly off the wall that I would just sit there and just think about to the point where it made me sick to my stomach. And if you know, you know, because that is not just like a figure of speech. That is legit. That is like, I did not want to get out of my bed. I would cry myself to sleep on multiple occasions. And I would go through my days and it felt like I was just in a fog. Like I couldn't even see clearly. Like I would be in conversations with people and not fully even understand or know what they were saying. Like my mind was always just preoccupied with just paralyzing fear, absolutely paralyzing fear. And again, I would say the bulk of this hit when I was a senior in high school. So several years ago. And it just wrecked me. It just wrecked me. And I felt so alone and so isolated. And just every place that Satan wanted me in, that's where I was. I was alone. I felt like no one liked me. My sisters were all at college. A lot of my friends who were in the grade above me had just graduated high school. So I was at high school by myself. I had a few friends in my class who I got along with well, but still, like, I was like, oh, these are not my people. Like, I just felt wildly alone. And I would just sit there and, oh, you guys, I just, even talking about it now, I just look back and I'm like, oh my gosh, it was Satan the whole stinking time. And I just couldn't pull myself out of it. And again, that is going to put people, maybe turn people off automatically to say that that was Satan, because some people are like, no, it's like, it's a chemical imbalance. It's real things going on in your life. And I'm not going to discredit any of that, but I still think Satan can be behind the scenes. And that's where my goal today is to empower people to take back the fact that they actually have every right and every capability to fight off anxiety, because it is so wildly a scheme from Satan that just absolutely wrecks so many people. And the thing is, we don't even realize that it's one of his tactics against us. And so we just become so victimized to this idea of like, oh, I just deal with anxiety. I'm just an anxious person. Oh, we automatically put on the hat of being the victim and forget that, oh, wait, actually, I have a choice to fight back at this. And so if anything, if nothing, I just want someone, at least one person, to walk away from this episode feeling empowered, like they actually have the ability to fight off anxiety, because you guys, you freaking do. You absolutely do. And again, I'm speaking from my personal testimony, but I'm already talking so much. Bear with me. But from my personal experience, I sat in that anxiety for a solid year. And again, hear me when I say it was debilitating. And again, I hope no one else has experienced that, but I'm assuming several of you guys have. And I just kind of let it be. Like for the longest time, I just, oh, this is what I'm dealing with now. Oh, poor me. I'm anxious now. Look at what's happened to me. I just, how sad is it that I have to deal with this? That was my mentality, and how freaking disgusting, because that did not have to be the case. And it actually was not the case. I was not just, oh, poor me. Like I couldn't do anything about it. I had to sit there and just let it take over my life. Absolutely not. But I will say it took me getting to a very, very difficult point in my life where I finally decided, you know what? I have to choose to fight against this, because right now life ain't going in a good way. And if it keeps going in this direction, I don't know where I'm going to end up. And I just remember having a conversation with my parents, and my parents are two of my favorite people in the whole world. And they, now that I'm a parent, I look back on the way that they raised my sisters and I, and I'm just amazed, because I can see how often I give in and how much I just like, not give in, but like I just, sometimes I forget that tough love is a great response to some of the things that our kids go through. Now, that being said, my kids are 5 and 3, so I don't think we've really gotten to the depths of like tough love and what it's going to mean someday when they're teenagers and whatnot. But I just remember going to my parents about this anxiety thing and just crying and just feeling like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? Blah, blah, blah. And it came from a completely loving place. You can't convince me otherwise, but it was just a cold, hard conversation of, Brooke, you've got to find a way to tackle this. You cannot let yourself think like this. You have got to get yourself to snap out of it. And at the time I was like, oh my gosh, well, how can I just snap out of this? Like, oh, they don't understand. Oh, no one gets me. Blah, blah, blah. And until I actually listened to those words, I let that freaking anxiety whip me around like a freaking roller coaster. emotional whiplash every freaking single day, crying every single day. And for what? For things that weren't happening? For things that I was just scared of maybe happening someday? Guys, I get it. There are fears and there are traumas and concerns. And I have been through several myself, to be quite honest. But when you carry that around like it's a name tag, like that's your identity of, I'm fearful, this is what happened to me, or this is what could happen to me. What are we doing? What are we doing? Is that what you envisioned for yourself? No, it's not. But you know who did envision that for you? Satan. 1000%. 1000%. And so I really had to come face to face with this anxiety. And when I tell you, it goes down as one of the most difficult things that I've had to do. I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. Because your mind is the devil's playground. Unless you take control of it, he's going to wreak havoc. And so I finally came to that realization of, you know what? No more. I refuse to let myself think these thoughts anymore. I refuse to let myself buy into the fear that is not true. And at the time, I was not into my Bible very much. I knew like the very basic John 3:16. Like I could tell you that. Isaiah 41:10. Sure, I got that one down. I couldn't have told you much more. Now that I have spent time really, I mean, still going through the Bible. I've not even read the whole thing all the way through. I'm working on it, but still got a ways to go. Now that I've spent time actually coming to know God's voice and the way he speaks and how he talks to us versus the way Satan does, I just want to go back to my senior year self and just one, I want to hug myself and be like, oh my gosh, you don't even realize that you're just being attacked right now. You were so seriously being spiritually attacked. And two, I just wanted to like give her this talking to. I wish this talking to, this conversation would have been available when I was going through it all. But anyways, I find more and more, especially, let me actually find it. I've got my Bible in front of me and I know right where it's at. Ephesians 6 is where I'm going to go. I find more and more just examples how we are in such a spiritual battle. And one thing I had to come to terms with to really get past my anxiety is the fact that there is actually a spiritual realm. And for the longest time, like, I thought that was weird, kind of cuckoo, like, okay, weirdos kind of believe in that stuff. But like, no, it's actually true. Like, it's not make-believe. It's not a bunch of weirdos. It's actually, there is something out there that I fully wholeheartedly believe. And I think if you're a Christian, you'd believe it too, that there is a spiritual realm that us as humans, we can't see. We don't have access to. We don't have a sense to, but it's there. And the verse that comes into mind about this whole spiritual world war, spiritual attack thing is Ephesians 6. Where are we? Ephesians 6, 11 through 12. Okay, so just quickly, I'll read it to you. It says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Right there, point blank. We are not fighting one another. We are not fighting against humans. And so many times I think we have it so messed up. And ding, ding, ding. That, in my opinion, is like another tactic of Satan to put us against each other and make us just preoccupied with fighting with other humans when in reality, he's behind it all. And just that verse or those couple verses right there, again, that's Ephesians 6, 11 through 12, just pinpoints it. Like, there is so much more going on behind the scenes than we can realize sometimes, but being able to identify it, believe it, and then put a stop to it is where we get our control back. Another thing that really started to help me then too is I just started to kind of dive through the Bible and look for verses that spoke against fear, spoke against anxiety. And one of the things, and this is not maybe the typical verse you hear when you're speaking about anxiety or listening about anxiety, but another one that I really liked was 2 Timothy 7. And it says, for the spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but it gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Now, heavy emphasis on the self-discipline part, because that's where it comes into play when you're tackling anxiety. Self-discipline is wildly important, because I'll tell you right now, when you are really in the throes of anxiety and you're struggling and you don't know how to get yourself out, you will wake up and it's almost second nature at that point to just boom, automatically you're in panic, boom, automatically you're freaking out. Oh no, what's going to go wrong today? Oh no, is this going to happen tomorrow? Oh no, I don't know what's happening with my future. If you've dealt with anxiety long enough, that will start to become second nature. So this is where your self-discipline comes into. It is never going to feel natural for you to not believe those lies. It won't, because you're so in it that it's becoming part of you. But that's where God gives us the privilege and the power to speak against it with self-discipline and say, absolutely not. I know everything in me right now is telling me I should be afraid. Everything in me right now is telling me I should be concerned, worried, and anxious, and panic, and I should be freaking out. Everything in me is saying that. But I refuse to. And you have to consciously make that choice day in and day out. And you know what? Sometimes minute by minute. Because when Satan is really attacking you, he will attack you hard. And what I mean is, I wish you guys would understand, but I also don't wish this on anyone. But I just hope this is coming across in a way that makes sense. I just think we have to be able to take that authority into our hands and say, you know what? God gave me a power to speak against this. This anxiety thing, it is not from God. Absolutely not. 100% not. Fear, anxiety, panic, not from God. And so the second I start feeling that, even now, like little glimmers of it coming up here and there, I can absolutely turn to it and say, flee in the name of Jesus Christ. You have no authority over me because this is not from my God. Boom. I'm moving on with life. And again, that came with so much practice, guys. And don't get me wrong, I still have my bad days. Absolutely. I have things that make me freaking spiral if I let myself think about it. But that's the thing. Self-discipline tells me I'm not going to think about it, actually. I'm going to surrender this over to the hands of God, knowing that He has my best interest. And whatever He has in His will for me in my life, that's what I'm going to follow. And even though it sounds scary because I don't know what that includes sometimes, I know whose will it is. And I know that's my Father. And there's another verse somewhere in here. I should have had it prepared. I didn't think it'd pop into my head until now. But there's a verse that says something like, even if we're evil, us as humans being evil know how to give good gifts to our children. How much better gifts can our Father give to us? Something along those lines. I'll try to find that verse and write it in the notes section or something. But it's so true. It's like, if I know how much God loves me, and trust me, you guys, He's so stinking obsessed with you, it's wild. If I know how much He loves me, how much He cares for me, how much He wants to do good for me, and not even good for me, but good through me for His name's sake, then you know what? I don't need to know the details, and I don't need to know my future. And there might be scary things that come along. And obviously, life comes with trials, and Jesus even says that this life will give you trials. But He is the one who's in control, and that is so much comfort. And until we surrender that, or surrender everything to Him and fully dive into that belief, guys, you're going to get your butt kicked. Like, I'm sorry to tell you, I don't want to tell you that, but it really comes down to the fact of, like, we've got to trust God. We have to. Because again, if you're like me and your anxiety comes from just wondering, what if? Oh no, what's going to happen next? Oh no, I'm terrified of this. And not to say, woe is me, because that's exactly what I'm trying not to do in this episode. But I've had cancer before. My sister had stage 1 cancer, lost her hair before. My dad pretty well almost died from a heart attack. He flatlined and was airlifted to a nearby hospital for emergency surgery. I mean, he was gone for like, I don't even remember how many minutes it was. His heart was stopped. Things happen in life that are traumatizing, that are terrifying, that give you every reason to want to hide and crawl into a hole and panic. My father-in-law had a heart attack. We lost a great family friend to a heart attack. Things are scary, and I'm never trying to discredit that, because I know that fear is an actual emotion too. But when you sit in that fear, and when you let it dictate your life, and when you let it debilitate your day-to-day life, that's where you have to consciously use your self-discipline that God prepared you with and gave you, and speak against it and decide that you refuse, absolutely refuse, to let any of those fears have advantage over you. And I know I'm just, I feel like I can't even say my words fast enough. They're just like pouring out of me, but it's so wildly important for me to stress to others that you have authority to talk back to anxiety. You have authority as a child of God to tell it to get out of your freaking life. You have authority to fight against it. You don't have to just be okay with believing those scary things. You don't have to sit there and say, oh, I'm so sad, poor me. You move against it. You attack against it. You guys, this is a spiritual war. That's where I really lean into this Ephesians 6 thing. It's not a flesh and blood war. It's a spiritual one. And if that means it's a war, then you better come locked and loaded and ready to go. I hope so badly that someone is getting a word from this. I hope so badly that someone can resonate with this, because this was a life-changing skill, a life-changing thing that I've learned. And it's so wildly important to me that other people kind of get this understanding as well. Another way that you could fight against anxiety, and one way that I think a lot of us do not take advantage of, is moving our bodies. And you're going to say, Brooke, where the crap are you going with this? You're just talking about Jesus. Now you're talking about you moving your bodies. Yeah, absolutely. I'm talking about it, because you cannot convince me otherwise that your spiritual, mental, and emotional health are not all wrapped into one thing. And so the more you work on one aspect of those three, whether it's spiritual, emotional, mental, the others will start to grow with it. And so even research says, you guys, the most natural antidepressant is from your, what is it? Oh gosh. Someone out there who's listening to this knows what this hormone is called. Dopamine. No, it's not dopamine. What is it called? Research. Okay. It's a legit study. I just am drawing a blank right now, but it is a natural antidepressant to move your freaking body. Move your body. Be thankful for the body God gave you. Go put it to work. And again, treat it as a war. Go to work. Go to work and don't take it lightly. Let yourself go into it with the thought of, no, this is how I'm fighting against anxiety. This is how I'm fighting against the spiritual realm. Whatever you want to tell yourself. But do not underestimate the beauty of being able to have that natural antidepressant that God blessed you with when you move your body. Again, that's another way I feel like God has blessed us and we don't even acknowledge it. And we're so close, or not close, but so quick to want to go to a place to maybe get, again, please hear me, because someone could take these words and twist it and say, Brooke is anti-medication for anxiety. That's not what I am saying. But I am saying maybe we have other options than having that as our first resort. Please, please do not twist my words on that. Yes, seek help. Seek your professional help. Go get medication. Do what you need to do to make yourself healthy and okay. But also look into other ways that you can make yourself healthy and okay, which is talking back to anxiety, which is working out and moving your body. I feel so strongly about this because I just feel like as of late, I've had so many people mention to me like just how anxious they are and how stressed they are and how panicky they are. And you look around and you see the statistics of our generation and just how sad it is that people are so anxious and stressed. And you guys, those are never burdens that you were meant to carry. That's not meant for you. You don't need to worry about what's coming next. You don't need to know what's in your future, because God does. And until you know him and trust him, it will eat you alive. And if nothing else motivates you to come to know him, maybe use that as leverage just to get yourself to know him. Oh, he's so, so good, you guys. And he wants to take those burdens from you. He does not want you to sit awake at night crying and just wondering what's going to happen next. That's not from him. And if that's not from him, then take the authority back into your own hands and speak against it. Before I leave, sorry guys, bear with me. Before I leave, I have to go through a few of these verses that I found. A few of these verses, I honestly didn't know which one to pick when I wanted to talk about anxiety today, because I feel like there's so many. And so I quite literally just did a quick ChatGPT for several verses on anxiety. And maybe one of these will stick with you most. And if not, maybe you can jot them down if you really want to. But one of the ones that is on here is Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, not some situation, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's another thing that I wanted to touch on and I forgot. The peace of God. So you're thinking, well, Brooke, I can't just speak against it and it's going to go away. What if it doesn't just leave when I tell it to? There is something so spiritual and just supernatural and powerful that the Holy Spirit puts into you, and that's his peace. I have felt that multiple times when it's like, I should be terrified right now. I should be scared. But I promise you, when you ask and you go to him and you just ask for help, that peace will come to you, and you then let that be your testimony once you experience that for yourself. But try it before you knock it. Another one is Matthew 6:25-27. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, or what you will wear. Is not life more than clothes and food? Oh my gosh, you guys, I butchered it. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Okay, 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Isaiah 41:10, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. You guys, there's tons of them out there. And if you're new to scripture and you've not really read, just know that here I am saying all this stuff. And again, I've not even made it all the way through the Bible. I used to just kind of spot read it, if I'm being honest. This is the first time I've actually been like putting effort into reading through the whole thing. And I am not even through the Old Testament yet. So anyways, that's a little random fact, I guess. But I would really encourage you guys to really look into what the Bible says about anxiety and take comfort in the fact that that is not an emotion that God wants you to feel. I know that was one thing that really hit me, and it allowed me to really dive into the fact that I don't have to allow myself to just sit in that pain and in that fear and in that panic, and that I had the authority to speak out against it. So guys, I feel like I blacked out in that one. I don't know what came out. I hope it was good, because I just rambled my little heart away. I really appreciate you guys hanging out with me. I know sometimes things can be really heavy. Anxiety happens for more people than we probably even realize. And again, like I said, I still deal with it sometimes too. But I really hope you walk away from this feeling empowered and just knowing that God is on your side. He does not want you to feel those things. And it's not something that you have to just stay victim to. So please, please, please take that away with this episode. If you take nothing else, just I hope and pray that you take that empowerment away and start to really speak against it. So I am going to leave it there. Thank you guys so much for hanging out. I love you guys to pieces. You're the best. We'll talk about this or something new, obviously, next time. But if you guys ever have like topic ideas or anything fun that you want to talk about, feel free to shoot me a message on social media or leave a little comment or something on this podcast show, and I'll check those as well. So, okay, I'm out of here. I love you guys. See you later.